Test. Are you ready?
That's our opening music, that is it? Okay, you can go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out to Wednesday night Bible study. I see a few visitors that are with us tonight. Hope everybody's getting them something good to drink and something good to snack on. Hope you've had a good day. Do you have a wet morning? We had a wet morning. I was happy to see the rain, though. It accomplishes some good things, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Who loves to study the Bible? If you don't, you might want to pray to. It's a good thing. He said if we ask for good things, he'll give us those things. Queen, do you love to study the Word? I'm so glad. I'm so glad you do. Well, let's pray and we'll get into the Word. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We gather in your name tonight wanting to hear your Word, God, wanting to be fed by the Good Shepherd, led to the places you have for us, Lord, washed in this word, in the places that need to be washed, renewed in the places that we need to be renewed. We just look to you. You are the author and finisher of our faith, and all of our hope is in you. I also want to welcome the people that are coming on streaming, where we're streaming it out. Welcome, and some of my friends that will watch this. I miss you guys, and I love you guys. So there's a song, Something Beautiful. Who knows that song? Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. If there were ever dreams that were lofty or noble, they were my dreams at the start. And hope for life's best were the hopes that I harbor down deep in my heart. But my dreams turned to ashes and my castles all crumbled. My fortune turned to loss. So I wrapped it all in the rags of life and I laid it at his cross. Can anybody relate? And he made something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, Johnny. He understands it, doesn't he? He alone understands my confusion. And all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he had so much more to offer me. He had so much more to give me. Philippians 1:6, if you hear me teach, you'll probably always hear this verse. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, say he's begun a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. I think the King James says, he that has begun a good work will perform and perfect it until the day of his appearing. Does that give you hope? It does me, because I can't do the work. The work that needs to be done in me, I can't do it. I can only work with him in accomplishing it. I can only cooperate with him. It is a divine work. It is something. It is something where he has to come into my life and do it. So we're going to talk about being in hard places tonight. Say, being in a hard place. Can you relate? You ever found yourself in a hard place? Let's look at 2 Kings 4:1-7. Who knows where we're going? I bet Neil knows. Huh? Here we go. One day, the widow of a member of the group of the prophets came to Elijah and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elijah asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" Say, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a flask of oil, she replied. And Elijah said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what's left over. So what does this verse, how does this verse tell me about Jesus? He said the words, he said, search the scriptures, for they are they which what? They talk about me. They tell of me. So let's look at this and let's break it down. So what is this woman? We find out at the beginning of the story, she is a widow and she has lost her husband. I can't imagine her emotional state. I really can't imagine losing my husband. The heartache she must have felt, the loneliness, the loss of the familiar. Bruce just takes care of me, you know, he just really does. The fear of the unknown. She was separated from her husband by his death. Her life partner was gone. The father of her boys had died, their role model. And it looked like she was left to raise them alone. Just let that sink in, her situation. And it gets worse. Does the devil have any mercy when you're down and out? Does he say, oh, they're having a bad day, I'll just take them light on them today? No, he's vicious. He has no mercy. So it gets worse. The merciless creditor has come to take advantage of her situation. There was a debt to be paid, and he was calling the loan. She was a penniless widow, unable to pay the debt, and her heart was broken. The creditor was threatening to take her boys and make them slaves. Imagine how she felt. What could she have done? Perhaps her thoughts may have been, this can't really be happening. Please wake me up from this nightmare. Have you ever thought that? I have. Please, Lord, this is too much. This can't really be happening. Her boys could not leave her. They could not be slaves. What about the dreams and plans she had for their lives? She couldn't be left in the world without them. This could not be their future. Can anyone relate to this widow? You may have had dreams. You had plans like the song we sang. Good was present in your life. She had a husband that feared the Lord. The potential for good things to happen was visible. But out of nowhere, suddenly devastation and destruction loomed ahead. Can you relate to this? Have you ever had that happen? Everything crash on you? This heartbreak, it could be in your marriage. It could be with your children. It's not the way I planned it, Lord. It's not what I hoped for. I didn't want my children to be slaves to sin. So we should be able to relate to her loss and her emotional state. The plans that we have. Did you have hope for a great future only to experience death and loss? May have been at your job that you worked so hard at. You didn't get the promotion, somebody else did, and you got fired. And it could be not only a bad situation, it could be the threat of more in the future. You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. If so, if you can relate, be encouraged tonight by this poor widow that staggered not, say staggered not, at the promises of God. Because that's a lot of the times the only thing you will have, and that's all you need. She staggered not at the promises of God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace." So he's got plans for peace in my life, for peace and for well-being, not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. That is a promise you can pray when there's no hope in this visible realm. That is a promise you can pray. You need to write that down in the front of your Bible so you know to go there. "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Is God a liar? But the devil is, isn't he? And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This little precious widow was wise. Say wisdom. In the midst of her loss, all of her pain, she did not stagger. She did not go to bed and draw the curtains. She was a wise woman of faith who knew where to seek help. You know where to seek help, Regina. I've seen you do it. She knew where to seek help. Psalm 124:8 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." He created it all. He is the creator. Well, your heart's question may be, how can I have peace in my life? Life keeps getting me down. I stumble under the weight of it all. Things don't go the way I hoped and planned. Is there peace for me? Is there a steadfastness that I have never experienced? If so, the answer is yes, there is peace to be found. And yes, there is a steadfast walk to be had. Proverbs 3:23 says, I'm reading in the Amplified, "Then," this is after you get wisdom, "then you will walk on your way of life securely, and your foot will not stumble." Proverbs 4:12, "When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, for your path will be clear and open. And when you run, you will not stumble." In this life, it may look like there's no way out. Bruce and I have been there. But we can look back and say, God came through with the miracle. He made a way where there was no way. So in this life, it may look like there is no way out or around the situation, but God makes a way. Can I get a witness? God makes a way. Call those to remembrance when God made a way. Choose to trust and follow His ways. It's going to be a choice who you're going to believe, and He will do it. But it must be His way. We can mess it up. God will reveal His way as you seek Him in prayer and counsel from His word. You'll hear that counsel coming through preachers and teachers and through your own personal time in the word. The directions will come when you seek Him with your whole heart. Say, I got to lay down my way. I got to lay down my thought. I've got to be willing to follow Him. Have you learned to trust Him? Have you learned to trust His ways? There is a place in Him where we will not stumble. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace," not just a little bit of peace, "great peace have they which love thy law," that's the word of God, "and nothing shall offend them." You can get offended and you can mess the whole thing up. You can ruin it because you're offended. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I love the word, Lord, but I ask to love it more. I ask that that grows and continues. Psalm 56:13 says, "For you have rescued my soul from death, yes, and my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life." the light of life. What a glorious place to be. He's that light. So this little widow was wise. She understood where to seek help. She went to visit the prophet. That would be like us going to the Word, going to the Lord. Because she had to have direction from the Word. Prophecy actually means, thus saith the Lord. We can think of it just as futuristic prophecy, but prophecy is actually, thus saith the Lord. It's speaking on behalf of God. And three things she told the prophet. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. One. Two, thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord the beginning of? Knowledge. But fools despise wisdom instruction. Do you hate being told the wise thing to do? You may be a fool. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. But all you have to do is get in the book of Proverbs and cry out for wisdom, and he'll give it to you. Apparently, she also had the fear of the Lord. Here she is seeking wisdom, seeking counsel. The Amplified Bible defines wisdom as skill in war. Say, skill in war. Don't you want to win the battle? I do, and wisdom will win it. It is also instruction. So the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And two questions from the prophet that he asked her. What shall I do for thee? What do you want me to do? And tell me, what hast thou in the house? All she had was a pot of oil. That is less than the widow with the little bit of oil and flour. She is down to the very bottom. But in reality, she's rich. Why do you think that I'm calling her rich? Why do you think I'm calling her rich? She had faith and she believed in the promises of God. She's rich. She's got riches that will never fade away. She's eternally rich. Did you notice her beautiful clothing? Did you notice it? I've never seen a more beautiful garment. I've never seen a more gracious woman. She might have resented her circumstances. She could have been offended and taken on a prideful, resentful, I deserve more attitude, or a victim mentality. But no, not her. She chose the high road. She had clothed herself in the most beautiful garment of all, humility. Say humility. Humility. She approached the prophet in an attitude of humility, referring to herself as thine handmaid. Thine handmaid. How do you approach the Lord when everything seems to be going wrong? Is it I deserve more? Is it a victim mentality? Or is it, Lord, I'm your handmaid. I need wisdom and I need instruction. Proverbs 22:4 tells us, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Did you just hear the key? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Oh, how I want that instruction. And before honor is humility. So the fear of the Lord is to greatly reverence him, far above man. Acts 20:19, Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews. Peter says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I can't make it if he resists me. I can't make it if he doesn't give me grace. And he's got good instruction for me tonight. And the prophet gave her good instructions. Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, he's very specific in the instructions. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So, I have a question for you. Is obedience important? She's heard the instruction. Is it important that she obeys it? So she went from him and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons. Note how she trusted in the ways of the Lord. And by her example, she was teaching her sons to trust in God and his ways and wisdom's instruction. And they brought the vessels to her and she poured out. The miracle had taken place in her home with her sons present, assisting her. They had all participated in and witnessed a miracle that would change their lives forever. The miracle of the oil. As long as there was an empty vessel, the oil poured out. There was no shortage of oil if there was an empty vessel. The amount of empty vessels determined the amount of oil that would pour out that day. What now for the widow? After she's done this, what now for us? Daily I will seek him. She's going back to the prophet. I got to get a word. I got to get the word from the Lord. She had sought godly counsel. She obeyed it, and God had performed a miracle. Her sons had taken part in the miracle and witnessed it in their very own home. What now? Back to the prophet for more instruction. Notice, Jonathan, she's not staggering. She's not staggering. She's rich in faith, and she has the promises of God. The prophet informed her to sell the oil, pay off her debts, and live. She and her two sons were to live on the remainder. What an abundant life Jesus has for us. God is a more than enough God. He didn't just pay the debt. He said, live off of the rest. Live. Can we just stop and praise him for that? That he's got abundant life for us? So how are you handling your difficult or devastating circumstances? Whose counsel are you seeking? Deuteronomy 32:28 says, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. We don't want to stagger. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You may have started out real foolish, but it can end well, Jonathan. It can end well. And then Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. She's in a war. The creditor has come to get her sons. Did you notice the closed door in the story? He said, shut the door. Why would the prophet tell her to close the door? Why do you think he told her that? What do you think about when you hear, close the door? to stay safe. Absolutely. Very good. So there are examples in the Word of God where doors were shut to protect someone or something from the outside. Here are some reasons why the door must be shut. The door of the ark, who shut it? To protect from the floodwaters, the judgment. Shutting judgment out. Shutting the door. Who shut that door? God, only He. But Noah participated in it. He had very specific instructions how to build the ark and exactly, but God shut the door. So how can you compare this to the door Jesus shuts when we're baptized in His name? What's He shut a door to? We get baptized in His name, but He shuts the door to what, Regina? Your past sins. He shuts the door because judgment would be on that, wouldn't it? But there's no record. There's no record of wrong. I don't want to lick my fingers in front of y'all. There are some doors only He can shut. So what is our part in shutting them? Lot shut the door of his house when the men of Sodom threatened to seize his angelic visitors so to protect from evil men and seducers, but this didn't work. The evil men threatened him and his visitors. The angels had to reach out, pull him in, and smite them with blindness. So something divine had to intervene, didn't it? And he had Abraham praying for him, didn't he? Isn't it wonderful that we can't shut a door? There's divine intervention, and we have people that love us, that are praying for us. We may be like Cain, and we may have been warned to not open a door. We may have been told exactly, specifically how to worship God. He was. He refused Johnny. He did it his own way, and God warned him. What lies at the door? Sin, and you must master it. But you know what I've learned? I can't master it. It masters me. I got to get God to help me shut that door, and I got to open my heart's door to Him. There are people that love the Lord that have opened the door to things, and they're having a lot of trouble getting them shut. But I've got good news. I've got good news. God will help us shut that door. He's got grace, no matter what if it is. If it's pornography, no matter what it is, a lack of love in your heart, a self-centeredness, whatever it is that's ruling. So we shut doors in an effort to protect ourselves and our loved ones from those who would rob us, but God does the divine protection. We must close the door, but He is our keeper, He's our defender, He is our shield. And we have been warned, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. We must close the door, that's our part, but God does the divine protection. We shut the door to slavery. Slavery to a life of bondage. Sin lying at the door, ruling us. The creditor was after her children, but she, in her wisdom, shut the door. The first Passover, the door was shut to the death angel, and the blood was applied. That was their part. They were obeying the instructions from the Lord, but who did the divine protection? God did it. So one of the sins that we must shut out is pride. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we're talking about not staggering at the promises of God. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So Jesus gives us good instructions, Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we see in this wise widow's account that she was rewarded openly. I wonder what all the neighbors thought about this. Was there great joy over her reward? Can you imagine the sons' testimonies as they returned the vessels? Did they have a party celebrating their new life, the debt being paid? They were instructed to live. I would have a party, Philip. Wouldn't you have? Does that sound good to you? They had a party. We need to live off and celebrate the miraculous that the Lord has done. I hope you have a party on Easter with your family. I hope you talk about the good things God's done. He has purchased our salvation and delivered us from an eternity of bondage. Let us rejoice over our salvation. And again, I say, rejoice. Great and mighty things he has done for us, and holy is his name. So what door might you need to close to have divine protection from God? We already talked about Cain. You know that there's a saying, pay as you go. I believe in praying as you go in the Word of God. I don't believe in getting to the end of it and praying. I like to pray as I go. Does anybody else join me? You like to do that? Right here, we're not through, but I just want to pray, okay? Would you just pray however you like to? I'm just going to pray. Speak to our hearts tonight, God. Give us your good instructions. Grant us repentance, and may we bring glory to your holy name. We pray that our homes would be sanctuaries where all evil is shut out. May we live holy, godly, acceptable lives before you, lives full of faith in your promises, lives of obedience. I pray that we would hear and do your commandments and bring great joy to you as we repent from every error, every wrong way of thinking and doing. May our thoughts be clean, righteous thoughts. May our attitudes be a fresh aroma that you take delight in. Forgive us for participating in ungodly things in our homes, for the times we have not reverenced you. Deliver us from every ungodly, any media that's not right with you, any gossip, any murmuring and complaining, unbelief, prayerlessness. Convict our hearts tonight as we're in this study. Convict us when we sin against you and enlighten us in your ways and thoughts. We seek your face. We ask for the help of your countenance. May we shut the door to evil, but open our heart's door to you. May our homes be godly homes where righteous seed is reproduced and trained up in your righteousness, all for your glory. Say in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Didn't that feel good? Pray as you go feels good, doesn't it? I think it helps get that word deep in the heart. The opening and closing of a door is an exercise of power. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice. It's an exercise of power. It's our free will. So shutting and closing is chiefly the site of battle between the divine and our human wills. We have been given power over the enemy. The devil is a lying deceiver. No mercy. No, 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 the word. No, and stick to God's good instruction. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we must be strong in his spirit and the power of his might. We must become strong men and women of God who do not stagger at the promises of God and who raise up righteous seed. Now let's talk about the pouring out of the oil. Now, as Pentecostals, we're going to like this part, aren't we? What's the oil represent to you in the Bible? The Spirit. What's the deeper meaning of this? It was definitely miraculous. As long as there was an empty vessel, the oil poured out, and the amount of empty vessels determined the amount of oil that would pour out that day. She had been instructed to borrow not a few. She had to have faith to borrow many, and she did. She made room for her miracle. I want you to get that because the Lord taught me that. We have to make room for our miracle. If there's no place in you for a miracle, you need to get rid of something or you need to get a promise that makes some room. She made room for her miracle. By faith, she sent her sons out to borrow vessels. She would not need them for long. It reminds me of Jesus being buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't need it for long. And the oil increased in her house. Think about the oil increasing as the word's taught in your home, but think about it also, your oil increasing in your house, in this temple. Sorry, I lost my place. Let's see. Is your oil increasing? What happened to the 10 virgins' oil? Do you remember? Did some run out? Did some have just enough they couldn't share it? They said, go. What was their counsel to the ones that didn't have it? Go buy from those that sell? What do you mean? Where's the selling of the oil? Well, this little woman's selling oil. Go sell the oil, pay your debt, live off the rest. What's that mean? The widow must believe and obey the prophet's instruction to receive the miracle. How might we make room for our miracles? Is there room in you for a miracle today? Do you need to borrow a room for your miracle to take place? In other words, do you need to get something that you don't have? Examine yourself and see if there's room for a miracle. And if not, determine what is occupying that space. It'll be a thought pattern that's not of God. It'll be a way of thinking that's not right. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What must be present for the miracle that we need? Well, let's look again at what's present in this story. Faith in God, His will, His way, right attitudes, seeking and obeying, wise counsel, following through with the wise counsel, returning to the prophet for further instructions, and what wonderful instructions they were. Sell the oil, pay the debt, and live, live. It reminds me of Mary's words to the servant at the wedding. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Was there a miracle? Yes, they did it, and water became wine. The widow did it too, and she experienced a miracle. The enemy had tried his best to bring her down, but God made a way of abundant life, not just life, abundant life. She staggered not at the promises of God, and we don't have to stagger. He has something beautiful, something good for our lives as well. I loved, absolutely loved your testimony, Lisa, and it will always stay with me. It looked bad. It looked bad, but He made something beautiful. If you didn't hear, was that about 3 or 4 weeks ago? If you have not heard her testimony, you need to hear that. So what a difference this widow made in her life, in her children's life, and in our lives tonight as we study her story. And it all happened in her home. Our homes, our bodies, as the temples of God, and our actual house homes are to be miraculous places of fulfillment. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, for ourselves and for others. In the promised land, He had homes for them, didn't He? He had place of rest for them. It is God's design. There needs to be rest in our homes. There needs to be true worship and fellowship. Fellowship comes in the Word of God. A place where we can rest in God's rule and provision. Is God welcome in your home? He stands at the door and knocks. Will He find a place to rest there? The dove, an image of the Holy Spirit, found no rest for her foot in the book of Genesis because everything was dead. And it wouldn't light on something that was unclean. Is God's Spirit welcomed and reverenced in our homes? If not, we must sweep it clean But beware, don't just clean it. What do you need to do? Fill it. Fill it. So this precious widow allowed mercy to triumph in her life. Say, mercy is the trump card the devil doesn't see because he has none of it. He's blind to it. She opened the door to it with her attitudes and actions. She displayed godly character in her trial. When the heat is on, what surfaces from your heart's content? When the heat is on, what surfaces? Help us, Lord. We want to have godly character. So what is it like in your house? The widow's home was a place where salvation took place. The antithesis of this is the prostitute's home, which leads to hell. We can learn about her in Proverbs. She is a woman that says she paid her vows to God. Oh, she went to church, but she didn't follow through with it. She didn't honor God and the covenant in her home, and her home led people to hell. Her home was a place of seduction. So let us be fully committed, say fully committed, to our God and be wise soul winners. Let us be fully committed, wise soul winners. If our oil has increased, let us sell it and live. What do you mean, Sister Jill? You ever have a product that you love, a face wash, a vitamin that changed your life? See my friend back there? And you just sell it. You should make a commercial for the product because you believe in it so much and it's so good. That's how you need to be about the oil. And you can't be that way unless you're full of it. It overflows. There is a river of life flowing out of me. And as long as there's an empty vessel before you, it will flow if you acknowledge the Lord, if you seek it. I have somebody I'm witnessing to, and it's probably one of my favorite people I've ever witnessed to because she just almost jumps when I tell her something about God. She's like a little kid, so excited. So she's supposed to come here and be with us. We got a date, so we'll see. Lord, let that follow through. So how do we sell it? Has ours run dry? We sell it by spreading the gospel and teaching others how to obey it. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money or without price. Why? Because it's so expensive, nothing could ever pay for it. It costs Jesus his blood. Let us lead men to heaven in our homes. Who's ever taught Bible studies in your homes? Who's ever prayed people through to the Holy Ghost in your homes? It's a wonder, your children praying through in your homes. Our homes should be places of rest in God's rule. When and if they are, we will find fulfillment emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and so will others. We can make a difference in our homes. So pouring out is a sacred place, say a sacred place, and it's most often a desperate place. And when we have many examples of people in the Bible who poured out. I need a time check. I don't have it. What time is it? Oh, good, okay. So the first mention of pouring out in the Bible is found in Jacob's life. He needs God. He's in a desperate situation. He was a mama's boy, and he wanted the blessings of the Lord, but he went about them the wrong way. And he was fleeing his Esau, who was going to murder him. He's never going to see his mama again. He's in a place he's never been before, and God gives him a revelation of the stairs and everything. And he makes a covenant with God, and he pours out oil. And you'll find that in Genesis 28. And God reaffirms the covenant to Jacob that he'd made with Abraham. And it says, Genesis 28:18, so Jacob got up early in the morning and took the stone he had put his head on. Can you imagine sleeping on a stone for a pillow? And he set it up as a pillar, that is a monument to the vision in his dream, and he poured olive oil on the top of it to consecrate it. He named that place Bethel. What's that mean? The house of God. The previous name had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, a promise, saying, if God will be with me, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and clothing to wear, and if he grants that I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. Does he have a place of protection for us? Absolutely. This stone, which I have set up as a pillar, a monument, a memorial, will be God's house, a sacred place to me. And of everything that you give me, I will give you a tenth to you as an offering to signify my gratitude and my dependence on you. That was amplified. So years later, Jacob is returning to his homeland, and God appears to him and changes his name to Israel in the same place. And Jacob set a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. So what was the result of Jacob's vow to God and his pouring out? Jacob became a father to the nation of Israel, sons of God. Pouring out is a sacred place. It's a desperate place. Jacob wanted the things of God. He was going about it the wrong way, and he had to have a lot of character lessons, didn't he? Just like me. Hannah, her name means grace. We have a beautiful Hannah back there. Hannah was barren and living in a very dark time in Israel's history. What was the result of her pouring out her soul before the Lord and vowing to God to dedicate her child to his service? Do you know about little Samuel, a prophet of God that did no one any harm, who became a circuit preacher and went around the nation of Israel, took no one for granted when Eli and all Eli's sons were to serve the Lord? And who was held off? Who was held off all the days of little Samuel? The enemy. The door was closed. Hannah, I'll give it to you. I'll give him back to you. One thing I've always prayed for my children, my son, was that he would be great in God's kingdom, greatly used, not great in this world, not making a name for himself here, that God would use him in a big way all the days of his life. Psalm 62:8, trust confidently in him at all times. Oh, people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You're my safe place, Lord. And then if we're talking about pouring out, we have to talk about Jesus. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the new and better covenant, which ratifies the agreement and is being poured out for many as a substitutionary atonement for the forgiveness of sins. Did it pay the debt? Yes. Did it protect us? Yes. The result, salvation, and then Christ coming to live inside of man, the veil being torn. Door open and a door shut. The right one open and the right one shut. Acts 2:18. Even what pouring out his spirit into us after he was glorified, even on my bondservants, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That speak on behalf of God. That sell the oil. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this blessing, which you both see and hear. Romans 5:5. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But we would not know about Romans 5:5 that we just read if it wasn't for Paul, who was willing to pour out his life to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Was it worth it, Paul? You better believe it. He said in Philippians 2:17, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith for preaching the message of salvation, still I rejoice and share my joy with you all." So in closing, we must hear his good instructions. We see it in the water being turned into wine. We see it in the pouring out of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Go tarry till you be endued. He has made a way, and he has a plan for our life. For I know the plans to prosper. He said, wait till you be endued with power from on high. We must not only cleanse our homes. All she had was a pot of oil. We must fill them. Tonight, God, I want this oil to multiply in me. We must be filled with the Spirit, which will comfort us, lead us, and make us mighty witnesses for him. Good oil sellers. We are very familiar with Acts 2 and the infilling. God had given them good instruction. They obeyed, and the oil flowed. What do you desire of the prophet of God tonight? He gives his Spirit to those who ask him and to those who obey him. So let us continue in him always. Let us be truly rich and not stagger at the promises of God. He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or think through the pouring out of this oil, and he can make a way where there is no way. Many came to the Lord in Acts 2. 3,000 were added to the church family that day when the pouring out of the oil took place. But there had been good instructions, belief in those instructions, and obedience to them, all because they sought the Lord and followed through. God's got good instructions. He did the rest. We just have to do our part. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He pulls the big things that we can't. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid my debt. I don't have to be a bondservant tonight. Like Paul said, I owe a huge debt to him. And the pouring out of oil, that's what I'm going to do. Presenting my life to him is just my reasonable service. I long to be his handmaid, clothed in a beautiful garment, all the days of my life. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace, well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." If you have a door in your life that you're having trouble shutting, ask God to lead you to people that he's helped. He's given divine deliverance. Come up to the altar and let us pray with you. However long it takes. And if you're having trouble trusting him and obeying him and opening your heart completely and paying your all, I want to encourage you, it will be worth it. Not your lives, only your children's life. We want a godly heritage. Does anybody have any thoughts or anything before we close? Or they want to add? Any questions? Just kind of feel like we're humbled by the word of God and his precious plans for us. Bruce, would you close us in prayer?
How many are thankful we got a good God that cares about us? He's just not some dictator up there in heaven. He really cares about each and every one of us in our individual lives. And thank you, Sister Jill. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. Made a way where we were lost. You said in John 15:5, without you, we can do nothing. Today, we acknowledge that. We need the be clothed in humility. We need to hear from you, God. We don't need to hear from television evangelists and snake oil salesmen. We need to hear from you directly in our lives. I pray for our homes, our children, our next generation, that we put into them what needs to be passed on, God, that they would be able to stand in their day when we're not here anymore, God. I pray, God, that our homes be houses of prayer, and that they would that our doors would be closed to evil and sin and wickedness of this world. I pray that we could raise up our children and grandchildren to serve you. I ask that you bless each one here and go with us as we leave. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.